Good morning. Great to be with you all. And that's a great introduction, but we all know who I am. I'm the fellow that gets lost a lot. I still remember how humbled I was when I was in between jobs and Jim Walker and I were talking. And I said, maybe for a short period of time, I could be a truck driver. And Jim said, you can't. He didn't encourage me. He said, you just cannot do that. Very, very humbling. In fact, I remember Mike Merle said this to me. He said, when you die, I believe Jesus will send extra angels to make sure you don't get lost on your way to hell. So anyway, it is great to see you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Don't we serve an awesome God? We do. Hey, and just to give you a quick update, I'm still teaching Bible. I do that at the Dana Christian School. And by the way, have all of you been to Dana? We live in the downtown. We're urbanites now. You go two blocks away, we're out in the country from where we live. I had to travel about three blocks to get to the school. The challenge, Tyler will like this, the challenge I have, I teach third grade through sophomore in one class. So there's a vast age difference, so it is a challenge, but I love it there. We just go right from Scripture, and I'll just tell them, you know, there's some people that believe in evolution, and I'll give you a word of what I think of that, baloney. Baloney. Someone, what does that mean? It's a lie. I said, this is the Word of God. This is the inspired God. It's 100% true. So we stand on this. So anyway, I'm there. And then I do chapel quite a bit. We have chapel once a week. And then real involved with the homeless, with Trish. And how many of you know this? I'm trying to think of the right word. Trish Lusayer is assertive. Is that the right word? You know, don't you? What would you say, Eric? Remember that she can hear this later. Yeah. So we were there just a couple days ago, and we had extra clothes. She just said, Chuck, you're taking all those clothes home. I said, yes, ma'am. I had my trunk full, it's a great ministry. You see people that just a few days ago that there's a fella that's been coming there for a long time, and I had a chance to talk with him. He said, I was in drugs up to about 7 years ago, then he radically got saved. He's working on a program now to become a drug counselor. But anyway, you're seeing the whole gamut. So we're doing that. I'm filling in at a church that's how many blocks away? Three blocks away or so, something like that. So we're doing, but anyway, the Lord's good all the time.
Amen.
And I'm still doing a little of this. Larry likes Bowen. Yeah, I always show up at Eric's at either 11 or 4. And he said, you always come before dinner. I said, it's a coincidence. Anyway, praise the Lord. It is great to be here. If you got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. Give you a minute to get there. Hebrews chapter 7. We'll start with the very first verse. This Melchizedek was king of Salem and priest of the Most High God. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. First, his name means King of Righteousness, and also King of Salem, which means King of Peace. Without father or mother, without genealogy, without the beginning of days or end of life, like the Son of God, he remains a priest forever. Amen. Let's pray. And oh Lord, how great it is to be in your house, to worship you in spirit and in truth. What an awesome God. You are the great I Am. You are holy. You are righteous. You are a firm foundation. You're the Alpha. You're the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. And Lord Jesus, there is salvation in no one else. Lord, we know that our good works cannot save us. Our own righteousness is like filthy rags before your throne. But it is only through the blood of the Lamb. You're not one of the ways. You are the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through you. And Lord, how great it is to be in your house, as iron sharpens iron, to be with brothers and sisters of Christ who love you, Lord, to have rich fellowship together with you and with one another. And Lord, right now we just pray your Holy Spirit, we go. Is that better? Can you hear a little better? I thought I was loud enough, but anyway. So I want you to picture this. Here on this side you have Abraham and 323 men. And over here on the other side you have five kings with all of their armies, tens of thousands of men, and they are getting ready to be engaged in battle. Now, if you were in Las Vegas and you look over here, here's what, 323 or so men, there's tens of thousands are getting ready to be involved in this heated battle. If you were a betting person in Las Vegas, the five kings would have 100% of your vote, wouldn't they? Gee, you look at that. But through the power of God, these 323 men were victorious. The battle is the Lord's. When God is for you, who can be against you? There is always victory in the Lord.
And so here this small amount of men were victorious over this great army. There is this major defeat, and then picture this. After all this battle, Abraham and his men are victorious. Picture this. Here's Abraham walking by himself. Someone's coming. This figure comes towards him. Not a regular human being. A high priest by the name of Melchizedek. And I want you to picture here for a moment what it says about him. One of the meanings of the word Melchizedek is King of Salem, which is King of Peace. How many of you know Jesus Christ is the King of Peace? In and through Jesus, regardless of your circumstances, you can have a peace that passes all human understanding when the power of Jesus is inside of you. Isn't that true? But you can be around Jesus, and if Jesus is not living inside of you, then you still will not have peace. Isn't that interesting? Don't we see that on the boat? All of us know the story. Here's Jesus. What is Jesus doing? There's this big storm coming. Picture this. Jesus is at the end of the boat, and he's doing this. The storm is brewing. You know, this is a big storm. You got four seasoned fishermen. They're shaking like a leaf. This isn't a little bitty storm. When the fishermen get scared, you better get scared, right? Starts tossing, turning. They panic because they are looking at Jesus, but at this point, Jesus is not living inside of them. You see the difference? And then it's interesting what they end up saying to Jesus. They grab Jesus, wake up, Jesus, wake up. And listen to what they say. Don't you care? Don't you care we're about to die? Don't you even care? Jesus is right there, but he's not in here. But when you have the power of Jesus living inside of you, you can have peace in any and every situation. Some of you know this, but I think about this often. I still remember when I went in several years ago to see Jim Walker Sr. walk into his hospital. This was when he was in Danville. I walk in, and he is smiling ear to ear. Joy, total joy. I look and I see there are no IVs. I said, Jim, you don't have any IVs. He said, no, and I'm going to quit dialysis. They've given me 8 days to live. And he was beaming with joy. And he looked me in the eye and he said, before long, I'm going to see the great I am. Before long, I'm going to look upon my Savior. And I remember looking and saying to him, I know you're not supposed to covet, but what a great position you're in. You've got to be with Jesus. No more pain. No more separation. It is going to be perfect. You're going to be in perfect fellowship. He had perfect peace because Jesus was living in here. How many of you know this, that we are all born with a sinful nature, and when we are born, we are actually enemies of God? You know, many people don't realize that today. Oh, the little children. They're all children of God. The little children, aren't they sweet? I always think about the preschool teacher said, you want to see how sweet little preschoolers are? You put the one toy in the middle of a room, and you leave them. And you see how sweet, that's my toy! That's my toy! We're born with a sinful nature, right? And in John chapter 1, verse 12, it says this, as many... Pay close attention. As many as received him, he gave them the right to become children of God. As many as received him. It's when you receive Jesus Christ that you are born again, you become a child of God, and you experience forgiveness. I just talked to someone who was converted not long ago. And this individual said, as soon as I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, it was like a 1,000-pound load was lifted off of my back. I didn't even know the burden I was carrying. You're under the wrath of God. You're under the authority of Satan until you become a new creature in Christ. And then you have peace with God. The word Melchizedek also means king of righteousness. So think about this, king of righteousness. And we talked a little bit about Abraham, and Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he had a great deal of faith, didn't he? I think about the time where he bound his son. Remember that? He bound his son there at the altar. God had told him to do this. I want you to sacrifice your son, Isaac. I want you to put him on that altar. And picture this. Just picture Isaac at the bound there. This is the altar. He takes out the knife. Can you imagine what he's going through? Wonder how big the eyes were of Isaac. What faith. And in Hebrews, it tells us that Abraham knew that God would always, he always fulfills his promise. He knew that if he were to kill Isaac, that Isaac would be resurrected. What incredible faith. Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness. But Abraham wasn't perfect. There's one person who's walked the face of this earth who is absolutely perfect, who is absolutely holy, who is absolutely righteous, and that is Jesus Christ and him alone. There's no name under heaven through which men can be saved outside of Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is no unrighteousness in him. Never was there a sinful thought. Never was there a sinful word. Never was there a sinful deed. Absolutely pure. Can you imagine the temptations that Satan threw at Jesus? If Satan could have convinced Jesus to even steal something like a penny, something that would seem very small to any of us, then Jesus would have been tainted. He would have had sin. The blood would mean nothing. And so, of course, we know that after he's baptized by John the Baptist, then the Holy Spirit led him out to the wilderness, where for 40 days and 40 nights he didn't eat or drink anything. And we know there were three temptations that came his way. But the scriptures tell us that in Hebrews, Jesus knew every temptation known to man, and yet he never sinned once. Satan threw everything that he could at Jesus, I'm sure, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He was bang, bang, bang. He was always pure. He was always holy. That's why he's our great high priest. How many of you know this? The blood of Jesus can make the foulest sinner clean. The foulest sinner clean. I remember many, many years ago, I was talking to a man, and it's a long story, but he had ended up killing another man, and he ended up saying to me, he said, "Oh, I cannot become a Christian. I've killed another man." And I looked him in the eye, and I said, "What you're trying to tell me is that your sin is even more powerful than the blood of Jesus Christ? Is that what you're trying to tell me?" The blood of Jesus can make the foulest person clean. And I think about this all the time, and I just love this. When you are right with Jesus, Jesus not only forgives you of your sin, but he also forgets. Don't you love it? Satan can accuse you all day long. "Oh, I remember when you cussed. I got it down. Oh, I remember that. I remember when you didn't treat your wife exactly right." He's got this long, long list. And this is what you need to do. When Satan reminds you of your past, you need to remind Satan of his future. "Hey, let me tell you what's going to happen to you, bud. Let me tell you, come here. Let me get the word of God. Someday, you are going to bow down." You're not going to want to. You're going to have no choice. "You're going to bow down. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." That's what's going to happen to you, bud. Oh, and your demons too. But I'm just going to leave them out. They're all going to be down there, prostrate before. You are the King of peace. You are the King of righteousness. And when Jesus lives inside of you, it makes all the difference, doesn't it? I still remember this. Maybe some of you remember when Tim Philpott brought in the KGB agent, Sasha, remember that? And I had hours, one of the greatest testimonies that I ever heard. For years he had been a KGB agent, and I had, Audrey and I had about 6 hours, well, 3 hours one day and 3 hours another day, just Sasha and us talking. And he talked about all the terrible things that he had done. He said, "You know what we did as KGB agents? They would have us do a hit on somebody. Two of us would ride in a car. We were so good at killing people that within 1 or 2 minutes, we could come to someone's house. We'd be in the house. One of us would restrain them. The other one would shoot them in the head, and we'd be out." He talked about all kinds of things that he had done as a KGB agent. And I said, "Well, tell me this. How did you become a Christian?" Did you ever, when you were doing all of these things, did you ever think that maybe there was a God? And this actually amazed me. He said, I grew up as an atheist. He said, until I was converted, I was 100% sure that God did not exist. I said, there wasn't even one time you considered the possibility of God living? No, I was 100% sure there is no God. I said, well, how were you converted? He said, well, it started out there at my daughter's school. They had these English teachers come in, and I found out that they were Christian, and I was working with other KGB agents. We were trying to decide how we were going to kill them. And then he said, one day, he said, just a typical day. He said, I was by myself. I was walking. He said, I saw Jesus Christ. Some of you might remember him testifying. I saw Jesus Christ. He stood right before me. He said, immediately I knew this was Jesus. He said, here he was. It was like he was on a pedestal. And he called it liquid gold. He said, I don't know how this happened. I can't explain it. But he said, something came from Jesus and it transferred into me and I was born again right then. What a testimony. Then miraculously, God was able to lead him out of the KGB, went to Asbury Seminary. He got a doctor, got this PhD, and now he's running a seminary in Moscow. Isn't that amazing? Let me tell you this. I know this for a fact. You could tell Sasha a million different, well, God, you could say this, God doesn't exist. Oh, yes, he does. Let me tell you this. I know that I know that I know that Jesus Christ is real. I'm not thinking it. I know it. I know some of you might remember this, but way back in the day, I was in my early 20s, and I was visiting someone who attended the church. His name was Charlie, and I was at his house, and we were talking, and I said to him, I made a comment like this, I can't wait till I get to heaven. And he looked at me and he said, what makes you think you're going to heaven? I said, excuse me? He said, I know you. You got a lot of faults. You got a lot of shortcomings. Boy, it's humbling when you're a pastor and the people tell you what they think. I don't even know if you're going to make it. I said to him, I'm not trusting in me. I'm not trusting in any righteousness. My righteousness, the best I got is filthy rags. But I'll tell you this, through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of the Lamb, through the blood of the Lamb, I'm going to be there. My spirit bears witness with his spirit that I am a child of God. I have many weaknesses. I fall short. That no doubt. But I know who I am in Christ. Do you know who you are in Christ? Have you been born again? Or are you like the disciples? Well, I've been, there's Jesus right there. The storm's coming. There's Jesus right there. He's sleeping. We're around Jesus. But is he living inside of you? And if he is living inside of you, are you spiritually hungry to grow closer? You know, just last week, I mentioned I'm still over at Eric's quite a bit. And I'm always first to the dinner table. You can probably tell. Eric's all, oh, I got to close the barn door, whatever, he's out there. Trish said, when Trish says it's time to eat, I'm at the kitchen table. I'm not waiting for Eric. Usually I'm half done sometimes when Eric's there. I said, I'm not waiting for you, no. So anyway, I was there. This was just days ago. And she said, "I've been a revelation." She got out the Bible. She said, she was talking. She said, "You eat, I'll talk." So I was eating. She was talking. She opened up Revelation, and she was going through the seven churches, what was going on. She's going a mile a minute. She was excited. She was thrilled. She is in the Word. Are you hungry? Are you wanting more? Or are you satisfied with yesterday's manna? I wake up, and this is honest. I wake up, and 99% of the time, the first thing I do is get into the Word. I'm hungry. The best part of the day. I get in there, spend time reading, spend time meditating, praying, "Lord, I want new. I want new manna today. I don't want yesterday's manna. I want to be in fellowship, deeper fellowship with you." If he's not living in here, you need to make that right. And if he is living in here, he doesn't want you to be complacent. He doesn't want you to be spiritually lukewarm. If you're hungry, he'll feed you. If you're hungry, he'll reveal more of himself to you. Are you hungry? And dear Jesus, we give you the praise, Lord, and the glory. What an awesome God that you are, Lord Jesus. You are the great I am. And Lord, we think about how, Lord, I believe that, how you appeared as Melchizedek, how you appeared to Abraham, King of Peace, King of Righteousness, Lord. What a great Savior. And Lord, as this altar is open now, Lord, first I want to pray for those who don't know. There is a heaven, there is a hell. You make that extremely clear. It's not your will that even one person be lost. I pray that if there's one here who doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, hasn't been born again, hasn't become a new creature in Christ, I pray today will be the day of their salvation. Not tomorrow, not even this evening. I pray right now will be their salvation. And Lord, I want to go deeper. I don't want to be satisfied with where I am, Lord. I need so much growth, Lord, so many areas. And Lord, you know all about that. But Lord, as we close out this service, this altar is open for anyone who would like to come forward, who would desire, I want a deeper walk. I want to go Scriptures. I want to mature. I don't want to live off the milk of the Word. I want to go into the deeper meat of the Word. I want maturity. I want to die to myself. I want to live for you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that if you're calling anyone to come forward, Lord, as this altar is open, may we make that. May we pray for that, Lord. We know you want to answer that.
blessed.